All right. I don't even know what to say because I don't know what, what we're calling this.
You could always add that in later, no?
It's all right. I got it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to what we're going to be calling the Flicks of Doom podcast. And we're going to probably continue on from here with a different format. But this week, we just wanted to start off with a little something-something because one of our favorite movies is having an anniversary. Isn't that right, Justin?
That's right.
We have a Back to the Future anniversary. I'm actually watching it in the background as we talk about it. So far, it's been an exciting week. We've had some stories over at geeksofdoom.com, and it's actually been pretty fun. I wrote a story about a guy that decided to build his own DeLorean. You should actually go check that out because it has a video of like the transfer, and it has videos of the picture, and it's pretty cool. There's so many different awesome stories on the site, and definitely go check them out. But we definitely wanted to cover a couple things today. There was actually some news that came out. Isn't that right, Justin?
That's right.
What was the news?
My favorite format, or I should say the only high-definition format, is Blu-ray right now, or physical format, I should say. And Back to the Future, which has been one of my most anticipated Blu-rays since the format came out, finally got an announcement. We got teased last year. There was a rumor going around that Back to the Future was coming out on Blu-ray, but now we got an official confirmation that Back to the Future, the entire trilogy, will be coming to Blu-ray. So I can cross that off my list of Blu-rays that are my most wanted. The only thing left remaining on there is Star Wars.
Yep. I knew exactly what you were going to say when you said that. Actually, I have another one on my list, which is Lord of the Rings Extended Editions.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a long time waiting, so I'm sure I'll have to wait.
Because they're coming out with the theatrical, but not the extended, yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably have to wait until after The Hobbit comes out.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, definitely, that's great news. I'm really excited to see what kind of, like, special features they're going to add to it. I'm hoping they add a whole bunch of extra special features to it. But what I really wanted to ask you, Justin, and I'll probably answer the question after you do. What are your like memories of Back to the Future, and how did you get introduced to it?
Back to the Future. I was kind of a late '80s baby, early '90s, and anything from the '80s, I'm always nostalgic about. And when you look at something like I love the 80s on VH1 where they go back and look at certain things. Back to the Future is always one of those milestones that occurred during the 80s, one of those 80s classic movies that I think still holds up to today if you watch the movie today. And that was my kind of that. I think that was my first introduction to Michael J. Fox. And there was some other movies that came out in the 80s with him. Teen Wolf is another one that was one of my favorites. But I think Back to the Future was always, as a kid, one of my favorites, and time travel is always a topic that I've loved in movies, and in particular, the second Back to the Future, when I was a kid growing up, I was really into technology and futuristic things, still into technology, but Back to the Future 2 was my favorite movie growing up, because just getting having a chance to play in that world of the future always appealed to me. But the whole series, I got them on VHS, and just watch the trilogy over and over and over again. And it's one of the few movies that I can say to this day, every time I watch it, I get something new out of it, and it still holds up. That when I try to look for a flaw in it, I just can't find it. Because to me, I love the first Back to the Future so much.
Yeah, definitely. With me, I know that one, I mean, I was born in 86, so actually a lot of the stuff that I shouldn't know about, I still do, because when I was growing up, I really the things my parents liked are the things that I went back to seek out and find out about. Like, it's the way I was with music, so it's the same way I was about with like movies and stuff like that. So when they enjoyed a movie, like, I would end up watching it when I was a little bit older. And that's what happened with me with Back to the Future 1. With Back to the Future 2 and 3, obviously, I was actually born, so I could actually watch them when they came out. So, not as much with 2 and 3, but, I mean, 2 was great. 3 wasn't bad. I don't know. I guess it was the lesser of the three, which is, I mean, actually not really an insult because they're all three really awesome, but... I mean, it's the one that I remember the least, but out of all of them, the first one is one of my favorites, and I remember watching it over and over again. There was like a couple sets of VHSs that I wore out, and one of them was this, the other one was Star Wars, and the other ones were my Batman tapes.
Yeah.
And those were the ones I always watched over and over and over and over again, and it was... a lot of fun, you know. And
did you have the trilogy, or did you have them like as individual movies, VHS? Because they had that trilogy.
When I originally watched Back to the Future, it was actually on TV, I think.
Oh.
So I didn't even have the VHSs at first, but when they all three came out is when I got the VHSs. And I think we might still have it somewhere, the trilogy on VHS. Where it came out with all three of them.
Yeah, because that one, it had... this is something that I always remember from my trilogy set. It had the three movies, but then there was a bonus VHS, and it was like the secrets of the trilogy, and it was hosted by Kirk Cameron, which I thought was weird. And they showed him coming out of the DeLorean, and he went through all these fan questions. This was like way before DVD special features, so this was like one of my first... special features that I really loved. I love seeing the making of Back to the Future and seeing deleted scenes and things like that. So that was cool.
Yeah, I think we did have that one. I don't remember. I'd have to go look, but I'm pretty sure we did. I remember having that one with special. I think seeing that, at least seeing that. I don't remember if we had it or not, but at least seeing that. But also, like the Star Wars had the same thing where it had the making of.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. with the included in it. Those were like the first ones that ever had. You know, special features to speak of, almost. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the cafe scene right now. It's freaking awesome. I love this. But, I don't know. Like, it's like every time you watch that movie, it makes you nostalgic for your childhood and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it also makes you nostalgic for a time that you aren't even a part of. That's the magic of the movie is that, you know... you see him go back in time, and you see all this stuff. And me and you weren't born for that stuff.
Yeah,
we weren't alive, you know. But it looks like it would be fun to be a part of, you know.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I didn't like the '50s, the '60s, any of that stuff. It was, oh, that's old. I don't like any of that. I only care about the future. So when I was a kid, I didn't really appreciate it. But now I'm coming to things like Mad Men and different things where I appreciate that era a lot more now. And it's like. It seems like, of course, we weren't born then, but it just, from everything that I've seen, it seems like the 50s, the 60s, it was like a more innocent time in America's history, and it seems like people were just nicer to each other, had manners, and, you know, dressed differently, and seemed like you didn't have, there wasn't as many worries, or you didn't have to worry about, you know, crime or anything, things like that. So that's always something that interests me when I go back and watch the movie now. It's like, oh, yeah. The 50s culture of, you know, the style of dress, the music, everything that they did kind of interests me now. So I really love that about the first movie now.
Mm-hmm. And you get to wonder how many things were inspired by Back to the Future too. I mean, like, talking about just the way the time period is set up and everything like that and the style of what's going on and all that whatnot. I mean, movies like Pleasantville and... and like you said, some of these shows, would they have had the inspiration to go, like, quote unquote, back in time and show what it's like to be like in those times? And I don't know. I've always loved time stories as well. You know, I think that even Lost has some sort of inspiration from Back to the Future a little bit. Maybe not all the way, but, you know, the way that they dealt with time travel and whatnot had to have been influenced from somewhere, and I would think it's Back to the Future. It's one of the most classic time travel stories there's ever been in any medium, almost.
Yeah, and there's so many things from the movie, so many elements that became part of pop culture. And you talk about time travel, the DeLorean time vehicle, like that is one of the most iconic things about Back to the Future. And it's almost impossible to look at a DeLorean now and not think of Back to the Future. There was an episode of Chuck. It was where one of his friends bought
Chuck
a DeLorean.
Chuck versus the DeLorean.
Yeah, where he bought a DeLorean, and then, you know, it just makes me laugh whenever I see a DeLorean. Like, the only thing I can think of is Back to the Future, and it's funny how that car became such an iconic thing. And then, you know, you go and look at the actual history of the DeLorean car and how it was a failure and everything. But the only thing I know about it, of course, you and me both, it's like we didn't grow up when the DeLorean was actually able. It was a current car. Like, it to us, it's just the Back to the Future car. So that's something that,
and whatever's out there is out there. So the more of them that break down, the less that are around.
Yeah.
And what's great about it is that, like, DeLoreans, the people that have DeLoreans were probably thinking, man, I wish I could get rid of this car. I'm never going to be able to get rid of it. And then that movie came out, and those things sell for like thousands of dollars now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you can get some for a decent price, one for a decent price, but you would have to really, really seek it out. But most of the people that have them will keep them in good condition and sell them for thousands of dollars just because they can, because people want them. Because everybody wants a time machine.
Yeah.
Everybody wants one. And if you go to geeksofdoom.com, you can read my story about and actually watched a YouTube video about the guy transforming his DeLorean. It's really cool. Like, I wish I had that much time on my hands, and I wish I had a DeLorean to do it with, because it was freaking awesome transformation and everything like that. Wasn't there a cartoon for Back to the Future too?
Yeah, there was.
It was a little while. I don't think it was very many episodes.
Yeah, I was trying to think if it was on the DVD. I think there was not the okay. First, the DVD came out as a trilogy, so you could only buy all three movies together. And then later, they came out with these individual, where you could buy the individual movies and
two disc specials.
Yeah, and they had different special features on them. So I ended up buying both the trilogy and the individual DVDs. And I think on one of those, there was like one episode of the cartoon show. I do remember watching it in the early 90s. It had, I think, Tom Wilson, the guy who did Biff, I think he was a voice on the show, but I don't think they got Michael J. Fox. That was one of those shows that it just capitalized on. In the early 90s, they had a bunch of cartoons that just capitalized on movies. They had like a Bill and Ted cartoon. They had a Beetlejuice cartoon. I actually remember watching the Beetlejuice cartoon every morning before school. And
yeah,
that one, I think, lasted a little longer. But yeah, the Back to the Future didn't last very long.
I'm looking at the two-disc set of the original. It says Universal Animated Anecdotes. I don't know if that would be.
I think that's one of those like trivia tracks that plays during the movie. Like, it pops up and
little must be. I don't see anything else about that though. But there are some pretty good special features on this DVD. That's why I'm excited to see if the Blu-ray is going to have any extra special features or.
Yeah,
I would be. You know, wait, so what would you think of if they actually went to do another movie or a remake? First, let's talk about what if they did a sequel.
There was talk, I remember a while ago, about Michael J. Fox playing the Doc Brown character. Like, if it continued to Back to the Future 4, he would become the old man, and then he would have a new, younger person to mentor.
Like maybe his kid or a nephew or something.
I was thinking about that, and I was like, that sounds kind of interesting. I don't know how that would work. It sounds interesting on paper. I don't know how it would work in real life. But then recently I've heard talk of rebooting it versus having a sequel and continuing the series. I think I kind of like it the way it is, Back to the Future, just 1, 2, and 3, and have that, you know, remain for all eternity. But if they could do a remake, you know, I was thinking about a remake with somebody like Zac Efron or somebody, maybe even an unknown person. I
wouldn't even mind Zac Efron. I think he's actually pretty decent. Yeah. I haven't seen Charlie St. Cloud yet because it hasn't come out yet. But I mean, I don't know. I like 17 Again enough. It's pretty good.
Yeah, he's the person that I could see pulling it off versus anyone else. If this was a few years ago, they probably would have been saying Shia LaBeouf for that role. But now it's like Zac Efron is the current guy.
Yeah, I'm not big on Shia LaBeouf.
I was for a while, like when Disturbing.
I mean, I think he plays like a certain part well, but I think Zac Efron is more of a Michael J. Fox than
Shia LaBeouf. I think he would fit more for Marty McFly, but I don't know. You know, if they did do a reboot, whenever they do like a reboot like that, it's always like part of you wants to see it again because you love the original so much, but then another part of you is like, well, because I love the original so much, I don't want them to step on their own legacy and mess up what I've already seen before. So it's always a touchy subject when you talk about reboots or remakes or.
Well, see, I think if I were to have anything, I would prefer a reboot, because if you get a reboot that you don't like, guess what? That's the Back to the Future you don't like.
Yeah.
You can go back and watch the Back to the Future you do like. But if you have a sequel, then that kind of tarnishes your love of what's come out a little bit, because it's like
Matrix.
I liked all three Matrixes. Oh. So I'm a rarity in that. But like, let's say, like the people with Lost that didn't like the ending, I can kind of relate a little bit, not to the extreme that some people have, but I can kind of see where they're coming from, because it's like, you know, you would like to say you love all of it, but you can't say that anymore. You can't say I love Lost anymore. You can say I love Lost seasons 1 through 5, but you can't say I love Lost anymore because you don't like the ending. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if, say, there was a 4, Back to the Future 4, and we didn't like it, then it's like we can't say I love, you know, Back to the Future as a whole anymore, because it's got a bad part to it that we don't like anymore.
Yeah.
So, but if you have a new series, then you could say I love the original Back to the Future.
Yeah.
You know, and that even if the bad one's crappy, you can just still say I love the original Back to the Future.
What do you think about the Star Wars prequels versus the original?
I think I don't know. I think if not to get too far into it, but I think that with that, it's like they were made for different age groups. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He made the originals for kids when we were young, even though it was actually made before I was born. But still, you know what I'm saying? It's for kids when in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Then when the prequels came along, it was made for kids like in the 90s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, the people that it was originally made for, the original series, the trilogy was made for, were already adults. So, you know, he wasn't writing to them anymore. He was writing to a new generation of kids, to the kids that those people were supposed to have,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it worked for those kids. It didn't work for the adults, so they complained about it instead of realizing, oh, this was always a kid's movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the same thing with Clone Wars and everything Star Wars. I think it was always written for kids, and that adults finally, they finally grew old, and then they didn't realize that it was for adults. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. I love all 6 movies. I don't say that the prequels are better in any way, but I do still love them for being Star Wars. And you know what? Honestly, either way, if they decided with Back to the Future to go reboot or you know, do a 4th movie, I wouldn't mind, because more Back to the Future would be good. Even if it was bad, I would still kind of be happy to see the characters again.
Mm-hmm. What about a Back to the Future prequel? Doc Brown was a kid, so I don't know.
I don't think I could do prequels. I don't really like prequels. Prequels don't usually work very well.
Yeah.
It would be kind of hard to do. I mean, it would be really hard to pull off unless, like, even if you're doing Doc Brown at younger, then you lose that Marty McFly, you know, character, you know, unless they're going to try to use somebody else as that kind of Marty McFly character. But
yeah,
otherwise, I mean, you need that. You need that. He's grounding for Doc Brown.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wouldn't be the same without a Marty McFly type character. And it's also going to be whatever they do, you know, probably Michael J. Fox won't be a part of it. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what it will be like without the Marty McFly.
Mm-hmm. It still amazes me that 25 years later, the movie still, like, I feel like it could come out today.
I feel like everything I saw Michael J. Fox in, I think of Marty McFly now.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have. It's not like I was overbearing. I just always think of Back to the Future whenever I see him now. And actually, same thing with what is Doc Brown's?
Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd. There you go. Christopher Lloyd was actually in an episode of Numbers. I think he was on a TV show that I watched. I think it was Numbers. And I couldn't stop thinking of Doc Brown every time I see his face. I was just like, Doc Brown, Doc Brown, Doc Brown. So, yeah, there was a cartoon, and I remember watching it now. I wish I could get a hold of it, though. It is awesome.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's on one of those. And actually, when I bought, when they re-released the movies on DVD as a separate movie, the first one has the ride. It has the footage from the ride at Universal Studios on it. So that was, like, the whole reason I bought it. Because that was another thing. When I was growing up as a kid, going to the ride at Universal Studios was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It actually has Back to the Future Back to the Future the Ride paper in it.
Yeah.
But anyways, this was fun, and we definitely are going to have some more things like this, especially at the site. We love to have a little week of geek. And celebrate our geekness with stories about what's going on and what's big in the news and the time. We had our Star Wars Week of Geek a while back. If you want to go back and look at those stories on geeksofdoom.com, we also are up to today, which is the anniversary for Back to the Future,
yeah.
25th anniversary. We've had lots of stories, and actually, you will be receiving this story last, which is not really a story. It's more of an actual podcast. So go back and read all the other stories. We have the, like I said, one I wrote, which is Build Your Own DeLorean Time Machine. There was a little mock episode or fourth Back to the Future script talk. You can go and read, and one of the writers, Badass, decided to actually kind of talk about his experience with it, and there's all sorts of stories on there about Back to the Future. There's the stuff that we covered about the Blu-rays and everything. So definitely go on there and check out that for all of your Back to the Future 25th anniversary goodness. And also go on to the site for any kind of movie news, television news, reviews, DVD reviews, Blu-ray reviews. We love to do Blu-ray reviews. Love that Blu-ray. And all sorts of other video game and comics goodness. Definitely go check out the Comics of Doom podcast, which both me and Justin are a part of. Hopefully we will start the actual weekly format, and keep your ear out for that, and start in the Flicks of Doom podcast. And everyone have a great day, and thank you for joining me and Justin, and have a great day.